The 12th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, reading verses 1 through 21. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were an hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. For the past several Lord's days, we have been dealing especially with the section of verse 20. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. Our first study was concerning the gentleness of our Lord, but it comprised an introduction to this entire passage of Scripture. We began with an analysis of this scripture, and then the doctrinal, ethical, and practical observations in these 21 verses. We then dealt with this prophetic portrait of Isaiah concerning our Lord, and quoted by Matthew in this section of verses 17 through 21. We then dealt especially with verse 20. We found that the English Bible has followed the emphasis of the original Hebrew and the Septuagint, or the Greek Old Testament, and then the Greek text as quoted in the New Testament Greek, whereby the object is placed first in this sentence for emphasis. A bruised reed, emphatically, he shall not break. And smoking flax, emphatically, shall he not quench. we see that our English Bible has retained this emphasis of the original, that our minds and attentions are driven to these objects of uselessness and weakness. We then saw that this whole statement was a figure of speech, a litotes, or a figure in which the affirmative is expressed by the negative in an understatement. Not only shall he not break the bruised reed, but he shall bind it up. Not only shall he not quench the smoking flax, but he will fan it till it bursts into flame. We then saw that this was proverbial as a figure of speech, that the bruised reed and the smoking flax stand for things which seem to be worthless, which seem to be useless, or at the best very weak and trembling. We have found in this the gentleness of our Lord as emphasized in the prophetic portrait by Isaiah the prophet. Then we dealt with some general practical application and observations from our text, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in His earthly ministry, and now as He ministers through His Word and by His Holy Spirit, will not indeed deal harshly with those who are weak and those who tremble. A prophetic commentary on the gentleness of our Lord. Our second message was the gentleness of our Lord, a word of instruction, whereby we applied this statement in verse 20, especially instructing to the minister and to older believers. Then in our last study, we dealt again with the same text. The gentleness of our Lord, now a word of encouragement. And our minds were especially focused upon weak and trembling believers. I would like to do a short review that our minds might be settled on the application of our text. Concerning believers, young converts, those perhaps who over a period of time, although older believers, have grown weak under great trial or coldness of heart, we found this text on the gentleness of our Lord to be good application. To those who grieve over a consciousness of sin, a word of encouragement to those who are undergoing great trial or adversity, to those who bemoan their weakness and lack of fervor, to those who seem to consider themselves as useless or worthless in the work of God, and finally, a word of encouragement to those who tremble as to their standing in Christ. Thus far, we have had now three studies in our text. God willing, this morning we close this study with one final word, a word of hope. A word of hope to what we will call awakened sinners. I want to mark in the first place this morning, what is an awakened sinner? We have used an adjective here, a descriptive term. Not merely is there a word of hope here for sinners, but there is especially a word of hope and great encouragement for an individual which we are pleased to call an awakened sinner. So the bulk of our message this morning will deal with the answer to this question. What is an awakened sinner? I want to deal with this individual, and I trust, yea, I know verily there are some among us this morning, and although we can all profit from the ministry of this text and the principle contained therein concerning the gentleness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we focus our attention this morning especially upon this person we term the awakened sinner. And I labor this morning to look at this individual in three ways. First, as to the characteristics of an awakened sinner. That is, what is the evidence of such an individual? And we look for some of the characteristics. And then we note this person by contrast with an unawakened sinner. We see there is quite a contrast here in the life. And then finally, by way of condition. What then are some of the characteristics or manifestations of an awakened sinner? One of the first and primary considerations and characteristics is this. An awakened sinner is one whose conscience has been awakened to a sense of sin. The Word of God teaches us that all men, irrespective of their religious presuppositions, are to a great degree affected by their conscience. All men, therefore, at times are by their consciences convicted of sin. However, when we look to the awakened sinner, we are not primarily concerned with the individual who occasionally, under the ministry of the Word, within the company of believers, reading a religious book, or dealing with some crisis in his or her life, is troubled in conscience and bothered by a specific sin. Such is relatively common to human nature. However, we are dealing now not with the individual who is occasionally troubled by sins, but one who is awakened to a consciousness of sin. There is a great difference between sins plural and sin singular. Sins plural may be any number of specific sins. An individual who would walk into this building this morning who is living in an adulterous, sinful relationship of immorality with another individual would indeed have a smitten conscience and be troubled about it. But that person may not necessarily be an awakened sinner who is awakened and conscious of an overpowering consciousness of the principle of sin that seems to govern his or her life. There are many people who flee to Christ because of a specific sin. A man who is an adulterer or a fornicator may make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ so his wife will not leave him or his family will not be destroyed. However, that person may never be awakened to the ruling power of sin in his life, and he may never savingly come to Christ as a repentant sinner. It is one thing to be convicted of a specific sin. It is altogether a different thing to be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God concerning the ruling principle of sin in the life from only which God can deliver. The awakened sinner is one whose conscience has been awakened to this sense of sin, that he is a willing bond slave to sin, and in and of himself he cannot overpower the reigning principle of sin in his life. Perhaps I address some here this morning who are in that state. Yea, I verily believe that I do, that you have become increasingly aware, and sometimes the very consciousness of it quite overpowers you and brings you to utter despair, that sin rules you and you are under its dominion. And you find no escape, you find no way of freedom. That is a characteristic, my friend, of an awakened sinner. God, in His grace, has awakened you. You are now conscious of sin while your friends live idly around you, living in sin, enjoying sin, and quite undisturbed by it. You yet find yourself to be under the dominion of sin. You find yourself to be its slave, as it were, and yet you are disturbed by it. You are haunted by it. You are no longer comfortable in sin as you once were. That is a characteristic of an awakened sinner to which our text addresses itself this morning. There is a second characteristic That is, there are awakened sinners who begin to see themselves under the wrath of God's holy law. I draw again another distinction here. I was told in a meeting once, a meeting of ministers in Houston, Texas, most of whom belong to a certain world-famous church in that city, that sin is what the preacher made it. That when a man or woman is convicted of sin, it is because he or she has been under a distinctive type of preaching that points out certain things people call sin. It is one thing to be a sinner according to men, but it is altogether a different thing to find yourself a sinner before a thrice holy God. Does your conviction stem from those about you? Does your conviction of sin stem from the church, quote unquote? Does your conviction stem from reading some religious book on counseling? Or does your conviction of sin, your realization of transgression into the very depths of your soul, derive from your realization that you stand before a God who is holy, who is just, who is righteous, and His law, His righteous nature and character expressed, must utterly condemn you? If that is your case, then you bear a characteristic of an awakened sinner. Now we know, saith Paul under inspiration, that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, in order that every mouth may be stopped and all the world guilty may become before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the full comprehension or knowledge of sin. You realize this morning then that you are a sinner, not because people keep on telling you are a sinner, not because you have read a book on religious counseling, not because you are out of sorts with denominational Christianity, but the true thought has come to you that standing before God Himself, you are utterly condemned by His righteous demands. That is a characteristic, an attribute of an awakened sinner. The conviction does not stop with your friends. The conviction does not stop with the church. The conviction is when you stand before God alone in your heart and mind and you are yet condemned. There is indeed a third characteristic of an awakened sinner. That is one who begins to understand that God is a consuming fire in His holiness and in His judgment, and that this judgment, this holiness, this wrath and just anger against sin is focused upon Him as an individual. John the Beloved would write, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." Is that your case? That you realize before God that God's wrath is focused upon you because of your sin? That is the characteristic of an awakened sinner. In the fourth place, an awakened sinner is one who is being stripped naked of all his religion and self-righteousness. Isaiah should write, "But all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." And perhaps once you prided yourself in being a moral person, a religious individual, a man or woman of conviction, you kept your word, and things haven't changed all that much, and yet you see in the center of your soul and personality nothing but rottenness and corruption. You see that those things in which you trusted for your religion and your standing before God, your denominational affiliations, the way in which you were reared, all of these things that you trusted in yourself that you were righteous are now stripped away from you. You found them to be all filthy rags, and you find yourself to be utterly destitute and naked before God with no possibility of answering His righteous demands. That is the characteristic of an awakened sinner. Is that your case this morning? That everything you would reach out to lay hold of, to rest in, to trust in, oh, I attend church, I give money, I put forth effort and energy, I write letters to people, I try to do good, and all at once these have fled from you. You're stripped of them. They will not answer God's demands upon your soul. And you find yourself, in spite of all of these things, still yet under His wrath and condemnation, and His demands are astronomical. They're as high as the heavens. You cannot attain unto them. This is a characteristic of someone who is awakened to a sense and consciousness of sin, not before men, but before God. Again, an awakened sinner is one who begins to comprehend that he is utterly destitute of any righteousness that God can or will accept. He finds that he cannot possibly in any way attain unto what God demands. You have tried prayer, and your prayers, as it were, fell at your feet. They did not arise to heaven. They fell on the ground and seemed to be soaking as the rain into the very depths of hell. You read the Bible, it's a closed book to you. It refuses to release the waters of life. You attend church, the preaching brings forth rebellion in your heart against God. And yet for all of that, you go home, and late at night, tossing on your bed or staring at the ceiling, one thought that you cannot shake haunts you, sometimes great, sometimes put away with other things, and yet returning again and again and again. There is nothing I can do, nothing I can do, nothing I can do. I'm damned before God. What He demands of me, I cannot answer to, I cannot attain. Why should God not leave me alone? Some men, some women, in such a state, myself included, I've often wished that I were a dog or a cat, a bird, anything but a man. Why? Why? Animals don't have these thoughts. They eat, they sleep, they live, and for the most part they seem to enjoy life, and I would feel as though I should be in hell already. Why? Why am I plagued with these thoughts? Oh, that I could be an animal, I could be a tree, I could be something other than what I am. I cannot escape this haunting thought that I'm condemned before God, and there's nothing I can do about it. For all sinned and are continually coming short of the glory of God. I try to pray, and my prayer is rottenness and corruption. I look at the Bible, and it condemns me. I try to sleep, and my sleep is disturbed. And I know, inescapably, that should I die, I would die condemned and damned by Almighty God, and there seems to be nothing I can do about it. That is the characteristic of an awakened sinner. Condemned. Damned. Unable to believe. Unable to repent. Sentenced to death. No hope.
No peace, no life. Promises are far off.
Others have peace, but not I. Others have hope, but not I. God has sentenced me. He's locked me up. He's refused to answer my prayer. What shall I do? Oh, that I were an animal. That I were an animal unbothered by such thoughts. I would live my life and die and find sleep in the earth. Would to God I had no soul! Does that surprise you that men and women have had these thoughts? Many have. And they've penned them in books. The struggles they had under a sense of sin, without any sweetness of the gospel to dispel the clouds and the storm of God's wrath. That is a manifestation of an awakened heart and conscience. Being plagued by sin, being uncomforted by the gospel. Yet again, an awakened sinner is one who understands that God demands faith, but does not yet understand what saving faith is, or what it is to believe savingly. Such was the case of David Brainerd, a case quite unknown in evangelical Christianity in this day. He thought he could be a Christian. At some times he thought himself a Christian. And yet there were several things, he writes in his diary, that brought up the hatred in his heart to God. God's law brought rebellion into his heart and mind. If God, said he, would only demand outward conformity, he could give that. He could be a hypocrite. But God demanded heart conformity, and that he could not give. When he thought his heart would conform, he found rebellion instead. Not only so, but he said God demanded faith, but did not tell him what it was. God commanded him to have faith, but did not tell him how to obtain it. There are some here this morning who have sat under the preaching of men who have told you that getting saved, quote unquote, is just as easy as falling off a log. All you must do is just believe. And they've made faith, belief, to be an easy thing. And yet you found that you must be the sole exception in the universe because you tried to believe and you couldn't. Some of us went through the machinery, didn't we? We walked the aisle, we signed the card, we prayed the prayer. They told us we were saved, but we had no peace. We had no hope. We remained miserable. We feared to talk to others about the state of our soul. We tried to believe we were Christians, and we were the most miserable of human beings. Awakened, yet unconverted. A spiritual no man's land of desolation. An awakened sinner may well be one who finds his heart is still in rebellion against God, still unsubdued, while more and more he understands the hatred of God against such rebellion. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Oh yes, I understand that, but I can't subdue my heart. I want to believe, but I can't believe. I want to repent, but sin overpowers me. I want to find sweetness in the gospel, but God has turned His face. The awakened sinner, the characteristics of the saint. I want to look at this individual now by contrast with an unawakened sinner. By an unawakened sinner, we mean one who is at home in his sin and largely undisturbed by thoughts of judgment or the reality of God. Men and women talk about God. They use His name in vain frequently. But they're not disturbed about the reality of God. They're not haunted as you are by thoughts of judgment and damnation. They've never thought with themselves that God is holy and God is righteous and God must indeed judge sin. They seem to be enjoying life, but you are miserable. You've been awakened to your condition. They are yet asleep. Yea, they are spiritually dead. They live with the calmness of animals. They eat, they drink, they propagate. They seem to enjoy life. You almost envy them at times because you were once like that, but now nothing is the same. You're awakened to a sense of sin. You see that God is real. You see that He sits in judgment upon sinners, and you find His wrath focused on you. The unawakened sinner is not conscious of his condition. God pity the soul of such an individual. But the awakened sinner is one simply who has been awakened to the reality of his rebellious and condemned state before a righteous, just, and holy God. He's one who is under a true conviction of sin. A third and final description of this one is by condition. I must be very careful at this point. We believe in the free and sovereign grace of God. We believe in regenerating grace. We believe that when a man is under great conviction of sin that comes by the Holy Spirit of God, he may be regenerate. But we must state this. A Christian is not one who is seeking Christ. A Christian is one who has found Him and is at peace. And we err at times if we pervert the grace of God and give comfort to those who are troubled with sin and seeking Christ if we give them any comfort short of converting grace. I'm greatly disturbed over sin. I can't even seem to shake this conviction. Oh, my friend, oh, that's wonderful. God has regenerated you. How dare we say that? 7 different men said in the Bible, I have sinned and were greatly troubled by it and all perished. Judas, Pharaoh, Saul, and others. And shall you give aid and comfort to someone who is still apart from Christ, who is not resting in Christ's righteousness, and whose heart and soul has not been stilled and quieted in the sweetness of the gospel by the Spirit of God? No, my friend, you cannot do that. You do them no justice. You do them a horrible, eternal injustice. There is no peace apart from Christ. We do not make a Savior out of grace. Christ is our Savior. And short of Him, and resting by saving faith in His person and work, there is no gospel promise, nor comfort. A Christian is not one who is seeking Christ. A Christian is one who is resting in His righteousness. An awakened sinner is one who is under the conviction of sin, but without the peace of the gospel and the sweetness thereof. This brings us to our second consideration. That is, why is there hope for the awakened sinner? I turn to my text. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. The awakened sinner, the person under great conviction of sin before God, knowing the reality of his condemnation and unable at that point to lay hold of gospel promise, is in reality before our Lord as a bruised reed and smoking flax. He seems as though God should quench him or cut him off. He seems that so God should crush him or break him in his present state, but oh no. Do you not realize that when a man comes under conviction of sin, God has bruised the reed? God has broken the man down? He bows over under a sense of sin? It is the hand of God to bring him to this state. Do you verily believe that Satan is at work when a man comes under great conviction of sin? Is it Satan who drove you here under the sound of the gospel? No, my friend. He would drive you to despair. He would drive you to drink and to drugs. He would drive you away, but he would never drive you to Christ. Bruised reed that you are this morning, the Lord will bind you up. Smoking flax that you are, all but quenched, the spark that exists is from God Himself. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The gentleness of our Lord is a great word of hope and encouragement to all who will come to Him. And so this morning, look to Jesus Christ. He will not refuse you, no, not at all. No sinner under great conviction of sin, seeking salvation, not fleeing from the fruits of sin, not seeking to sidestep the results of sin, but fleeing from the reigning power and love of sin itself. No one in that condition has ever fled to Christ and found Him to be harsh, unloving, inconsiderate, uncompassionate, unsympathetic, or refusing to receive. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The gentleness of our Lord is a strong word of encouragement and hope for anyone this morning who is laboring under the burden of sin and guilt and longs for rest. Not fleeing the consequences of sin, not trying to sidestep the fruits and the results of it, not trying to escape paying the price, but those who seek to be done with sin, fleeing from it, knowing its fatal disease, look to Jesus Christ. In the words of Scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. This is the essence of the gospel, a word of hope to the awakened sinner. And then finally, a general word of hope and encouragement to any and to all that are apart from the grace of God in Jesus Christ. So I address myself to every unsaved person here this morning. Anyone at all, without exception, who turns from his sin unto Christ, not who turns to Christ wanting to retain his sinful life, his habits, one who wants to be a slave of sin and a partner with our Lord. No, no. No bargains with God, but one who desires to turn from sin and turns to Christ. Our Lord said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise," very strong expression, double negative in the Greek, "oumei," I will not cast out. A word of hope, look to Christ, bruised reed that you are, smoking flax that you are, the bruised reed, useless, worthless, yes, discarded by man, yes, smoking flax, irritating to the eyes, irritating to the nose, snuff it out, quench it out. Smoking flax that you are, weak, useless, worthless, come to Christ. Look to Him, close with Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. In the words of the Old Testament prophet, under inspiration, speaking the very words of God. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there is none else. Not only is this a word of hope, it's the only word there is. There is no place else to go. There is no one else to whom you can go, but to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There in Him, in His person and work, is the righteousness that God demands. In the blood wounds of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of sin. There is righteousness. There is acceptance with God. Flee to Him. Believe on Him. Rest in Him. May God, by His free and sovereign grace, enable you to savingly close with Christ, knowing conviction of sin, yes, but knowing the sweetness of forgiveness and the blessedness of the gospel. Lord Jesus Christ, bless, we pray, the preaching of Thy gospel. By Thy Spirit, be pleased to awaken, yea, and to convert men and women and boys and girls. O Lord God, we glory in Thy truth. We find it glorious. Might others come to Christ savingly and know the glorious sweetness and blessedness of the gospel of the Son of Thy love. Lord, we know that the bruised reed You shall not break. The smoking flax You shall not quench. We rejoice in Thy gentleness. Might we all know it. Might we rejoice in it. And might we indeed bless Thee for such acceptance. In Jesus' name. Amen.